Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I'm so glad you're here today. It's a big week for our nation. Lots happening this week. And, you know, the church has a part in all of that. The church has a part. And one of the primary ways that we have a part is in prayer. And so what we've decided to do is that this Tuesday, in our family center, which is down here in this end, all day that room is going to be open up to pray. That you can come and go to pray as your schedule allows from 9 to 10. Our whole staff is going to be joining together. If you're free from 9 to 10, we'd love for you to come and join together from 9 to 10. I know some of you have jobs that doesn't work with, but if you're free, come from 9 to 10. But we're going to open that room, and there's going to be the ability for us to join together and pray for our nation, pray for peace, pray for reconciliation, pray the kingdom of God would come here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is our place to stand in that place as a church in this moment that we are in. And so I want to encourage you to do that. One other thing I want to encourage you to do, just as a church, that we would take it one more step and just we would fast something on Tuesday. Maybe you fast a meal. Maybe you fast, you know, eating the whole day. Maybe, I don't know what the Lord would have you fast, but ask him, is there something I should fast? And we actually take the day to really pray that the kingdom of God would come and we would position our hearts to hear his voice and to really stand in the gap for our nation on Tuesday. There's a lot of dynamics. There's a lot going on. Even besides who gets elected in these positions, there's a spiritual war going on. And when we stand in that place of prayer, we're contending with heaven to come here. And so I want to encourage you to do that as a church on Tuesday. So, man, I'm excited to share what the Lord has given me today. We're going to continue on from last week in talking about the renewed mind. And how many would say our thoughts are powerful? That how we think and what we think impacts literally everything? How we think and how we process thought actually determines how we see reality. How we see everything around us. It impacts how we see ourselves. And how we think actually impacts how we see other people around us. And how we interpret what's happening around us. Somebody know that it's important to guard what we're thinking right now so we can actually interpret what's going on around us rightly. How we see the world around us. Our thoughts impact that. And ultimately, how we see God. How we see our future, how we see what's to come is so impacted by our thoughts and by what we're filling our thoughts with. It's so funny. I said this to a friend the other day. I said, I read the news on my phone a lot. I almost don't ever read or watch news. I read it. I feel like there's less commentary that way. And so I read the news and you think, I was reading this news and I thought, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to stir anything up here, but I was, or maybe I do. I'm just kidding. I was reading, I'm like, oh, reading this news, Biden's going to win the election. And then later that night, I turned on the news, which I never do. And I watched like 3 hours of Fox News. I don't recommend it. I watched like three or any news. I watched 3 hours of that news and I was like, oh, Trump's totally winning, you know? And it's interesting what you fill your mind with impacts your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden it was like this world and then this world and then this world. And so here we are in this moment where we actually get to decide what goes in there and then we get to decide what we think about and therefore how we see the world, how we see life. And we read last week a quote from Dr. Leaf, who's a neuroscientist. I want to read it again because I think it's that powerful. She says, each thought we think is an actual physical structure in our brain. The more we think about something, the more that structure grows. How many agree we should be thinking about what we're thinking? We should be thinking about what we are thinking. I think so. Do you think? I think we should think about what we're thinking. How many times can I say the word? It's awesome. Our family, all five of us were in my truck yesterday. We were driving to Springfield and we were out in the country driving these, my wife is laughing, she knows what I'm going to say, driving these winding roads and we came down this road and up and we came around a corner and there is a car coming, driving for us in the wrong lane in our lane, and we were about to have a head-on collision. I hit the horn so loud, which I really reserve that for emergencies only. I hit the horn, and somehow that guy woke up, and he swerved right over just before we would have had a head-on at about 60 miles an hour. And I got to tell you, what the first thing that came out of my mouth was, what was he thinking? Right? Or not thinking? Just what was he thinking? And I was thinking about this whole thing of thinking. And you know how we often say that, like, what are you thinking? What were you thinking? Like, you read somebody's post on social media and you're like, what are they thinking? Like, you like, don't worry, this isn't going to get political today. You hear that somebody's voting for the opposite person that you're voting for. You're like, what are they thinking? Right? You know what I mean? Like, you hear of something like this, like some devastating decision that somebody's making that impacts their family. And the first thought comes to my mind is, what are they thinking? Or what were they thinking? What are they thinking? Well, they're thinking something. We're thinking something. I know that was my first thought. It's like they weren't thinking, but you know what? We're all thinking something. What are we thinking? That's the message. I'm done. Goodbye. God bless you. I'm joking. So Dr. Leaf says this. She says, we have the power to choose what we think about and therefore what neural pathways will be in our brain, which shape the way we see reality. So we have the power to choose what we think about, and we have the power to decide what structures we are going to build in our minds. We have the power to consciously control our thought life, which means not letting thoughts rampage through our heads. Now, I've walked with the Lord a lot of times I've walked with him. I walked with him for a lot of years. I've walked with him. And I have to tell you that there are seasons in my life where, you know, my mind is just set, things are flowing, it's good, and then I'll hit little seasons where I realize I've got a lot of thoughts rampaging through my mind, and sometimes it takes me a little bit to wake up to the fact that, whoa, those things are flowing in there, and I gotta put a stop to it. I've got to put a stop to it. It's not a one-time renewal, it's like a continual renewal. And this is what she says, we have to not let thoughts rampage through our heads. It means that we can learn to engage every single thought that we have, analyze it before we decide to accept it or reject it or act on it. As believers, we said last week, we call this taking captive every thought to Jesus Christ. I want to throw out one more scientific term today because they make me feel really smart when I share them. By Dr. Leaf, and it's this term, neuroplasticity. It's the scientific discovery proving that we literally change our brains through our thoughts and choices. We change our brains through our thoughts and choices. We can physically create new neural pathways and destroy old ones. What did we read last week out of 2 Corinthians 10? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises itself up against the knowledge of Jesus. So this is what the science is saying. We have the power to destroy old pathways. We can wire out toxic beliefs, experiences, and thinking patterns, and wire in truths, good habits, and outstanding thinking patterns. It's what we call renewing our minds. So what does this mean? This means that if you have been living with thought patterns and mindsets your whole life that are destructive, there is hope. That's what this means. Regardless of what you have believed, regardless of what you have experienced in your past, the truth is you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the science actually has caught up with the Bible on it. It's the truth. See, in Jesus, he's given you his mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And he's made your mind actually be able to physically create new pathways of life to destroy old ones that are full of death and lies. That's the good news of Jesus. And we have the ability to actually replace mindsets of untruth with thinking patterns that are filled with life and truth. And not only one time, we actually can do it, and then we can stay in them and live in them. How do we do this? John chapter 8, Jesus says, I've just been meditating on this one. He's talking to some Jews who had just believed, they're new believers in him in John chapter 8, verse 31. And it says that he was talking to these Jews who had believed in him. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, we have quoted that. I have said that over and over and over, but I felt like I was just getting a new revelation on this. He was speaking to those who were at the beginning of belief in him, and he's telling them that they needed what they needed to do to continue in belief. That if you abide in my word, if you stay in my word, if you continue in my word, one commentary I was reading on this said that abiding is this, it's welcoming it. If you are at home with it, with my word, if you're living with it so continuously that it becomes a part of your life, a permanent influence, that's what abiding is in the word. Remember last week we talked about Joshua chapter 1, that God had given Joshua the charge to lead the children of Israel. And what did he say? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, meditate it on day and night. In other words, let it be on your lips. Let it fill your conversations. Let this word come out of you. Speak the word. Say it out loud. How many know that even in worship today, there's a powerful thing that happens when we speak and sing the word of God out loud? You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Did you feel the atmosphere shift on that? Even as I was sitting there, all of a sudden it was like I saw him at the highest place again. Any place that was in my mind or my mindsets that had kind of tried to make him a little smaller, all of a sudden, you reign above it all, you reign above it all. Whew. Freedom in my heart, because that's the truth. And all of a sudden, I felt that freedom, because that's the freedom of the truth of Jesus. He says, fill your minds with it so that you can be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. So God said that to Joshua in Joshua 1. And now Jesus says this, if you abide in my word, if you welcome it, if you make your home in it, I think the message says something like this, if you stick with it, how many know you gotta stick with it? We don't just have a verse, we're like, oh, that's so good. You got to stick with it and live out what I'm telling you. If you embrace the truth, Jesus is saying, of what I'm teaching you, you're my disciples. If you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth. Isn't that interesting? If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. Not just a classroom kind of knowledge, but an experience of the truth. Because I am the truth. Truth is a person. If you abide in me, in my truth, the truth will set you free. How many want to be free? I do too. So powerful. I was thinking about this, how Jesus says, he who abides in me will bear much fruit. The fruit comes through the abiding, right? He who abides in my word will have the truth, and the truth will set him free. What did God say to Joshua? He said, you know, meditate on it. Meditate on my word. Let it be on your lips and do what it says, and your way will be prosperous, successful, fruit, success. I think there's a key here that God is telling us. Amen? The problem is that if we don't know the truth, we won't be free. And it isn't a one-time like, bam, I got saved. I know the truth. That's just the beginning of the beginning. Of the beginning, of the beginning of the beginning. Because if we aren't continually being renewed with the truth, we won't live free. Why are some believers not living in freedom? I believe that it's because somewhere in there is truth missing. Right? There's somewhere in there's a lie that's being believed. I've had this happen in my own life. Maybe you have too, that there were these places where I wasn't living in freedom at different times in my life. And what I've realized is that it always comes back to this. I didn't have a revelation of truth in that area. That somehow in that area, I was believing a lie. somehow that pattern, that cycle, that sin, whatever it was, there was a lie that I had been believing that caused me to not live in truth. And I had to repent, which is changing your mind. Repenting is changing your mind, turning from that untruth and abiding in his word. It's what he said, that freedom comes through an encounter with Jesus. But I want to tell you this, living in freedom requires a new pattern of thinking. Living in freedom requires a new pattern of thinking. Any area where there's not freedom in your life, it's going to require repentance and a changing of your mind, a renewing of your mind in truth. It's going to require a new pattern of thinking. So when we know the truth, we get to capture the thoughts. But if you don't know the truth, you don't know what thoughts to capture. Do you know what I mean? So that, I think that's sometimes the issue, is that like we have these thoughts come, but we actually don't know the truth to stand up against the thoughts. So they rampage through our mind and we're not able to capture those thoughts because we don't have the truth of what Jesus said. And therefore they control us, and therefore we all of a sudden get all tangled up and we're not free. But when we know the truth and we're abiding in the truth, then we actually can analyze that feeling and that thought against the knowledge of the truth. We can analyze that emotion, that impulse that goes through our head and say, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And we align it up against the word of the Lord and say, how does this thought, how does this mindset, how does this emotion, how does what I'm feeling about that friend of mine, how is it that I'm seeing this situation that's in front of me? Maybe it's your spouse or your child. How does this align up with the word of the Lord? I think that this is very central to even right now. We take every thought captive. How does this worldview that I'm holding line up to him? Right? Like, how does this idea about this situation line up with what Jesus says, with what the word of the Lord says? And then through that filter, we decide whether it gets to stay or go. We decide whether I'm going to build a structure with that because I'm going to think on that, or I'm going to say, hey, get out of here. I don't want any of that in my brain because I don't want to see the world or life like that. If you're having thoughts about yourself, thoughts maybe like I'm not good enough, or thoughts of inadequacy, or thoughts of rejection or insignificance, sometimes we begin to be friends with thoughts like that instead of, we need to capture them and say, hey, what does Jesus say about me? Which comes back to identity, right? Like, what is he saying about me? Because I can't afford to have that thought in me if he's not having it in his head about me. What does he say? The truth is that what he says about me is really the only thing that matters. Because that's how I'm going to live from. The truth is, and I want to speak this over you today, the thought that he has over your life is really the only thought that matters. Because that's where you really find the life from. That's where you live from. That's where you see from. What he says over you is what we have to fill our minds with, regardless of the situations going on around us and regardless of the feelings that might be trying to overwhelm us. We have to say, what do you say about me? Because I got to fill that with that. I got to build those roads with that so that I can express who I'm really to be on the earth. And this isn't just about meditating only on truth or memorizing scriptures, because plenty of us can rattle off truth all day long, right? I mean, like lots of us can memorize scripture and rattle it off. It's about making the choice to actually believe it, right? To actually believe it, to actually rewire thoughts in to our minds, believing what God has said and tearing down what comes against what he said, to put his truth above what feels to be true that's right in front of us. And then we do it again. And then we do it again. And then we do it again. And we do it again. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she says it takes 21 days to rewire your brain on any one given thing. Sometimes it's like the diets I try for a few days and I expect to lose 50 pounds. It just doesn't work. You know? Why does it always come back to that for me? I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, I thought about Jesus today. I got some truth in me today. Awesome. Good. Well, you got to do that at least for 21 days and then let it turn into a lifestyle, or you'll be right back to the bondage that you were in before. And then we get discouraged, and then we think Jesus doesn't really, he's not who he said he is. Oh, no, no, no. It's because we didn't actually do our part for success. Thank you. It's called neuroplasticity. Or more importantly, it's called being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. Because how I think determines how I see. And how I see determines how I live. And when we change how we think, we change how we live. If your Bible's Colossians chapter 3, it's a really familiar passage. Verse 1, Paul, he says this. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So what he's not saying here is, he's not saying be uninvolved in this world. That would be the total opposite message of the entire Bible and the gospel. But what he is saying is that you bring his word in you so that you can think like heaven and bring that here. He's saying you died with Jesus the Messiah to the old world, so we don't belong to that system anymore, right? Okay, you believe that. We don't belong to that old system anymore. Are we clear on that? Like, we don't belong to that old system, that old world system of thinking anymore. We have been raised to life with Jesus into the new creation. And to grow in it and to walk in it more fully, we will have to set our minds on God's new world. We'll have to set our minds on God's new way that he began in Jesus through his death and resurrection. That's why we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Like, it's like his world breaking into our world. And one of the primary ways that he breaks in is through our thinking, so that it can be expressed through our lives. And it's been done in Jesus. That's where we now live from. That's now, he's saying, where you think from. He's like, that's why you have to set your minds there so that you can bring my thoughts to earth. That's where you live from now. That's where you see from. You don't live that old dead life. Like, you don't live according to that old system of thinking, even when it tries to pull you in. And that's why the political system tries to pull us into that old kind of thinking. But we can't do it because we've been given a new mind. That's why this is such a difficult time sometimes. Interesting, right? I saw people using that word this week, interesting. You had to be there. If you weren't there, go back and watch it. It's a totally different kingdom. It's a totally different citizenship now. Now, that's the thing. We have to I'm not sure sometimes that we actually even buy into this big picture mindset that we are actually of a totally different place now. Even though we're living in this place, we're completely from a different place if you're in Jesus. Citizenship, allegiance, all of it. Our full attention, our full allegiance now is to the king of that kingdom. And see, that's why we just can't go along with the flow of the world and its mindsets and its narratives, wherever we might find them. Right? Like, that's why we can't go along with the flow of the world in any of its mindsets, wherever we might find them. We all know what some of those are, the most obvious forms, but those worldly mindsets try and creep in on the church. They try and creep in on everyday life so that we would be conformed to that instead of conformed to this. And what Paul is saying is like, you got to set your mind on things above so that you will remember where you're from. We're now battling issues. The issues that we're battling, I mean, even just in life and in our world, really are rooted in our allegiance. Where is our allegiance? The battle is over allegiance to kingdoms. That's what this is really about. Like, where is our allegiance? Is our allegiance to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world? And that's why we're called to be radically and totally different from the world in every single way. That should put a smile on your face. Come on, smile at me. Happy holiness. Yes. And now he's saying you think differently in every way. Some of those differences he goes on to list in Colossians 3. I encourage you to go meditate through Colossians 3 later today. He addresses several things in there, one of which is sexual immorality. It's why as believers now who have been raised from death to life, we don't live in sexual immorality or promiscuity of any kind. And I might just even add that it's not just, you know, I think that you know, one of the hot buttons of the day, you know, of course, is homosexuality. And it certainly includes that, but it is also sexual activity of any kind outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Sometimes I think the church wants me to just list off all the things we're against. I was joking with somebody, maybe every quarter I ought to go through the list of everything that we're against, just so everybody knows where I'm at. I thought that was really funny. Some of you guys look angry at me for saying it. But seriously, church, like I just want to just say that because that's the word of God. That you get your mind on that truth, sexual immorality of any kind outside of marriage is from this world. It isn't from the world that we're called to live from in Jesus Christ. That's why we say a radical no to it of every form, right? Any kind of sex outside of marriage. Church, we're called to be radically different. It's why we don't live in, he goes on and to mention some of these things. It's why we don't live in anger. It's why we don't slander people. Like that's one for right now. Right? It's why we can't align with slander. It's why we can't align with meanness. Like we can't because we're of a different place. We're of a different world. We can't align with all forms of hatred or filthy speech, it says, or profanity. Like that's not where we are. If our minds are set in this world, we'll live in that. But if our minds are set on things above, we will see how he sees and express that. We don't get to do, that was the biggest fly I think I've ever seen that just flew out from here. We're kicking the poop up. I don't know. I don't even know what that meant. I'm sorry for all of you at home. Sheesh. Why does this stuff happen to me? I got to break that mindset off right there. We don't do whatever we feel like whenever we feel like it anymore because now we're under the lordship of Jesus. We don't say whatever we feel like saying and just say, oh, yeah. No. Not as believers, we don't. We don't do that. We don't do that behind closed doors. We our mouths are different because our mouths are speaking the word of the Lord. Right? Our minds are set in a different place and we abide in Jesus now. We're hidden in him and his truth has set us free. Verse 10 of Colossians 3 says this, we put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of him. So we're coming into maturity, into the knowledge of how his kingdom works and what it looks like, right? We're being renewed in the knowledge of him. And we're expressing that. That's why we're totally different from the world in every way. That's why we see such a clash of lifestyle, right? That's why there's such a clashing right now. And now he says, this is our lens for thinking and seeing. It's one of my verses that I share all the time. Verse 17, he says, whatever you do now, whether in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here's what this means now. If we can't do it or we can't say it in his name, we don't do it, we don't say it. See, that's what's so difficult about a political spirit is that somehow we'll be like, oh, yeah, well, this is, no. We are kingdom people bringing that here. We can't enter into that spirit. Like, we can't enter into slander. We can enter into truth. Mark Maples is shaking his head. Yes, I'm glad. He's the vice president of hope. I'm just kidding. It's great. If we can't do it or we can't say it in his name, we don't say it, we don't do it. And guess what? When we actually stand as believers and live that way, it's infuriating to the world. It's infuriating to the world. And it's also infuriating to anyone who's bought into the mindset of the world that even might have a Christian label. Do you know what I'm saying? It creates a clashing and a colliding and a confrontation because the battle is rooted in allegiance to kingdoms. And the more you know about that kingdom, the more it's expressed. The more your thoughts are filled with that kingdom, the more it's expressed and the more you grow and change and you can't actually talk the way you talked before. And people are like, what is going on with him? Why aren't you rah-rahing with me? I didn't plan any of that. I believe, hopefully that's the Holy Spirit. Hopefully. The conflict is between the allegiance between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of this world. Because our minds are set in another place and we bring that place to this place through our words and our deeds. And it upsets the kingdoms of this world. And it upsets the religious and the political systems too when we don't join in with them. And join in with them, I don't mean vote, not voting. We vote. I'm just saying we don't join in with the political spirit. Right? We're very engaged in culture. We're very engaged in all the places of influence. But we don't engage with the spirit of the world. We engage with the kingdom of heaven. They cannot mix. And that's why we're here to hold the line on that. We're here to stand up for righteousness in that way. Think about this. You know, when we actually do that, it creates persecution. It creates a clashing. But this is what Jesus said. He actually said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Because when you're persecuted, when this happens, he's saying the kingdom is yours. Think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Can I hear a hallelujah? Did you realize that when you signed up for this? Like, we don't talk about that a lot. I'm not looking for persecution. I'm not like, hey, persecute me, you know? But if you want to live a Jesus kind of life, if you want to live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. But see, here's the thing. Sometimes we can get confused and call things that we brought on ourselves by our decisions or the way that we handle things persecution. And sometimes we call things persecution that just aren't persecution. But this is specifically speaking of persecution because of righteousness and godliness and releasing the gospel. Think about this. If you're a new believer or an old believer, I don't mean like age-wise, I just like on the earth. I mean age-wise walking with God. If you're a new believer or you're an old believer and your mindset is this, I love Jesus, and if I'm living righteously and if I'm living godly, life is going to be so smooth and so easy. Right? There's not going to be trouble because I'm doing the right thing. There's not going to be hardship. There's not going to be pressure because I'm doing what's right. I'm following his voice. I'm living in his will. So man, everything should break loose in front of me. It's just going to be smooth sailing. Here's the thing, when those difficulties arise and you don't know what he said and you don't know the truth, you'll not live free in those moments, and those pressures will cause you to crumble. You'll be asking, why is this happening when you could have been rejoicing and leaping for joy because your mindset is that your reward is great in heaven? And instead of asking why and letting mindsets of discouragement and disappointment and questioning even the goodness of God, because this happens so often, and those things take over, now I'm asking, what is God going to do through this moment? What is God going to do through this? I just want to challenge you today. What if in this moment that we're in, that we're living in right now, what if our mindset was, what is he going to do? Like, what is he going to do through this? That kind of a mindset and expectation. How is the kingdom going to come through this moment that we are in right now? Church, I think that should be our posture as believers, regardless of the outcome of this week. Our posture should be, what is God going to do through this moment? What is he going to do through the church? What is he going to do through my life? How is he going to break in? What if that was our approach in whatever you're going through or whatever you're facing? How is he going to do what he's going to do? How's he going to take what was meant for evil and turn it into good? What if we weren't looking for the evil, but we were looking for how is he going to take this and do good? Seriously, think about that mindset. But if your mindset is like, oh, it's going to be so horrible and I can't believe this is happening, then all of a sudden those structures get so big, they get so strong, and all of a sudden hope gets drained out of you. But church, I believe our posture is to be, what is God going to do in this moment? Church, I want my mind locked with the mind of Jesus. I want to think like him. I want to see like him. I want to look at those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes and see that it's enough for thousands. I want to look at this obstacle that's in front of me. I want to look at this maybe a moment of scarcity that you're in, and I want to see that even though it doesn't look like there's enough, that there's more than enough, because he's more than enough. And whatever that moment is, I want to see in the spirit, not just the natural. I want to be able to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. It doesn't matter what's going on out here, because in me, in my heart, in my mind is set. My mind is set. I want my mind to be so filled with heaven that I carry the wisdom of that place to this place because I'm thinking like him. Man, we're running out of time, but I got a little, you got a little bit more? You got 5 or so? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Grab it real quick or it'll be on the screen. I can't really unpack this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says this. He says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. That's why our hope is not in the rulers of this age. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you hear this? The wisdom of heaven is not the wisdom of this age. And it's not from the rulers of this age. The wisdom of heaven is from the age to come that has already begun in Jesus here and now. And we have access to that. That he's imparting. Verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Like, that is one we could just meditate on every day and build some structures around right there. What if we filled our minds with that? What no eye has seen and no ear has heard. Our heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Who's he prepared it for? Those who love him. How do we know who those are that love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commands. Think about that. As you're setting your mind, church, hear this. As you're setting your mind to walk in obedience, as you're setting your mind to not be conformed to this world, as you're setting your mind to walk in righteousness, especially when it's costing you, you can be filled with the expectation of all that God has prepared for you because you love Him. Verse 10, these things, what we just read, God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? Get this. So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we point to the person next to you. Say, that's you. Come on. That's you. Now we, every believer, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Get this, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Did you get that? This is absolutely like happy dance material right now, right? No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But now we have received the Spirit of God that we might understand the things freely given to us from God. How many want to understand the things? I want to understand them too. Verse 13, and we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Get this, but we have the mind of Christ. But we, come on, give the Lord a shout for that. But we have the mind of Christ. I feel like Paul just like dropped the mic. And I feel like the jaws drop in that moment, really. Unpacking this, it takes several messages, and over time we will, but I want to just let this cause a hunger in us today for more. I want this to create an invitation to us to more of the Spirit of God in our lives, to know the things that are available to us. How many would say, whatever you know, there's more to know? Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, the oldest person in this room has so much more that there is to access. There's a couple things I want to leave you with today, and it's one out of this, that the wisdom that Paul is talking about and the wisdom that he has in mind doesn't belong to this age or to the rulers of this age. I think we need to keep it clear right now. It isn't from this world. It belongs to the age to come, which has begun in Jesus. And as his kingdom is breaking in right now, it comes. So speaking about this wisdom to those who are not in Jesus will be like speaking in a foreign language. Until spiritual eyes are opened. Can we agree on that? That only those who believe in the one who is and the one who is to come will understand this wisdom. So the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, right? Romans 8 says that the natural mind is at enmity with God, right? That person cannot understand. There's no capacity. It seems like silliness. It seems like foolishness. So why does the world think some of the things that Bible-believing followers of Jesus stand for are foolish? Because they can't understand it. Which makes me wonder, and I want you to think about this, why we get so angry and surprised for the world acting like the world. Like really, like unless we tell them, unless we show them, they're not gonna know. Their eyes are not going to be opened. See, we cannot argue or legislate morality or the values of the kingdom. A person must be born again to see. A person must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. A person must repent because the kingdom of God is at hand to change their mind and enter into the things of the Spirit. Church, this calls us to mission. That we're called to call the world to Him. Not to just do certain things, but to Him, so that their eyes will be opened and that they will see who He is. Second thing I want to say is that the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined have now been revealed and are available to you and me through the Spirit of God. This doesn't mean we automatically know everything, or why would Paul have written the letter, right? So like, it means though that we now have access to it all. And I don't know if you caught this, but this is so powerful. We actually now have access to the mind of God. You have access to the mind of God. The Spirit understands the mind of God, and we have been given the Spirit of God. He lives in you, that we might understand the things that have been freely given to us. We now have the ability to think like God. Guess what? If we have the ability to think like God, there's no more excuses to stay where we are. In any situation, we actually have the ability to access what God is thinking about any situation. Through his word, through his presence, through being with him, we have been given the Spirit of God that lives in us, and he has the answers to the problems. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to just speak a couple more things over you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in every believer, we now have access to the wisdom of heaven for every obstacle that is in front of us. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, and makes it available to us. And Jesus told us that it was better that he should go so that the Spirit of truth would come and live in us and lead us into all truth. Do you realize what this means? This means Holy Spirit has strategies of heaven for everything. Would you lift your hands? I just want to speak this over you. I want to actually declare it. It's different than I thought. I want to declare, if you're at home, just lift your hands. Family Center, lift your hands. I just want to declare this. Holy Spirit has strategies of heaven for everything in your life. Everything in your life. Holy Spirit has the strategies and wisdom of heaven for your everyday life. Those situations that you keep coming up against, he has the wisdom of heaven that he wants to release to you. Holy Spirit has the wisdom and strategies of heaven for our nation. Holy Spirit has the wisdom and the strategies for all the issues that we face. And I declare that over you in Jesus' name, that there is an invitation for you to step in greater to the mind of God, to think like God, and to respond to everything going on like he responds. And I pray that over you in the name of Jesus today. I was thinking this, the prophecy of Joel 2, you can put your hands down. And the prophecy said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and my daughters are going to prophesy dreams, vision. The wisdom of heaven is going to be released. I believe that this is a moment for us as the church to walk into the revelation of heaven being released in a greater way here on earth. I believe that you have prophetic words that are going to be released in the marketplace that are going to call people to Jesus. The influence that you have has been given to you because you are going to bring the wisdom of the heaven there. You're not going to join in with the wisdom of man. You're going to bring the wisdom of God because you have the mind of God. Now I'm just screaming and shouting. I believe in you, church. I believe in you. And here's what I want you to do as you go out of here today. Take some time this week and you ask Holy Spirit, is there any kind of a lie that I'm believing? Is there any kind of lie that I'm believing? Any kind of a mindset? Anything that I've bought into that is not true? Any pattern of thought? Any outlook on life that isn't the mind of Christ? And you just simply ask him, maybe get a little notebook, your journal, and say, would you reveal it to me? Because I want to repent of it and I want to change my mind on it. I want to repent of it. I want to change my mind because I want to see how you see in this situation. And I want to challenge you that each day you meditate on the word. You don't let a day go by where you're not in the word, where you're meditating on it. Let it be on your lips. Let it be your words coming out of you. And then we do what it says. And I want to challenge you to do it for 21 days because that's how long it's going to take to change thinking patterns. If you try it for a day or two and it doesn't work, or you think it works and it doesn't, you'll say, oh, that didn't take. This doesn't work. That's not true. You didn't get there overnight. It's going to take a rewiring of our thoughts and a welcoming of the Holy Spirit to literally fill our minds with heaven. One more time, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness over this place. I thank you that you are destroying lies even right now. And that as the church of Jesus Christ, we are going to rise up in this moment and go through this moment like we have never gone through. Our expectation is in you, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do through all of this that's before us. Jesus, you get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Can we give the Lord a big, come on, give him a big shout of praise.